And then notice to appear is the new charging document. And the notice to appear, as I'm sure all of you know, has been a big, big arena of legal proceedings, all the way up to the Supreme Court. Last summer, I feel like it was so long ago, that the Supreme Court ruled that if the notice to appear was not complete, and by complete, that means a time and date and where to appear. And what the Supreme Court said is, how can you expect someone to show up at court if you don't tell them when you serve them with the charging document, if you don't tell them when their court is, and if you don't tell them where their court is? And so for us, we were like, wow, that had huge implications. But the decision was based on an issue not relating to jurisdiction. It was an issue related to the stop time rule, which meant somebody can't have a benefit because upon the filing of the notice to appear, then the time stops. And if someone is eligible for a form of relief, let's say cancellation of removal, then they have to prove 10 years. Well, in many of these cases, notices to appear were held for 2 years before they were ever filed with the immigration court. They could have been issued to someone, and your client's been waiting for their hearing, and now they have 10 years, but on the date they were detained and served with that notice to appear, they did not have 10 years. And so the Supreme Court said, that's not fair. You can't do that. That's improper interpretation of the statute. And so for the stop time rule, they said, if it's been 10 years, or if you can argue that the notice to appear is no good at all, that it was not properly filed, then you have an argument for termination. And immediately upon that Supreme Court decision coming out, which was right before we went to our national AILA conference, American Immigration Lawyers Conference in San Francisco last year, it basically turned our world upside down. We all started rushing to do motions for termination. And it was short-lived because the BIA came out with a decision very soon, a few months. That was the fastest they've ever decided a case, to try and put a stop to that.
Which is a very bad decision. If you read it, it is absolutely ridiculous. It's like a first-year law student analyzing circuit courts and Supreme Court and controlling law. It's really bad.
And we'll get into detail. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. But all of that to say that all of these proceedings, there's a process and there's rules and there's court rules. And then the next one, and we'll talk about bonds in the next session, but it's hearing before the immigration judge and bond redetermination hearings, master calendar hearings, and then a hearing on the merits. And if you're staying for tomorrow, we're actually going to do a case so that anybody who wants to will make you volunteer involuntarily. You get to practice, and you get to give your opening statement, and you get to do a bond hearing, and you get to do a master calendar hearing. And the key is to feel comfortable with walking into a courtroom and being able to represent your client. Because I can tell you, at least in our court in Dallas, if the immigration judge who has been there, he's probably been there 20 years, if he smells fear, he's going to act on that. And he's going to put you to task. And so whether you know what you're doing or not, you better pretend like you know what you're doing when you walk into that courtroom. Because that's half the battle. It really is, you know, how you're there to sit there and represent your client. If you're sheepish about what you're doing, and the best way not to be is to be prepared. You know, and that's why you have your statute with you, so that if they question you, you can look at something and say, no, that's not what it is. Or you can make your argument. Don't allow yourself to be shut down, because it's always been that way. And don't be afraid to make the arguments. I mean, that's what we're here for. You never know. Your argument might be the one that sets precedent for everyone in the country. And that's why we have to keep on fighting these cases. And even today, to this day, I am still filing motions to terminate, at least orally, on every NTA that doesn't have a time and date. Because eventually the pendulum's going to swing back, and somebody's going to recognize that the Supreme Court is the law of the land, and that's what they said, and that we have to abide by that law. So, again, don't be afraid to make your record and keep fighting.
Just two quick things I wanted to point out about the notice to appear issued by DHS. Now, that can be, as I said earlier, it can be ICE, CBP, or USCIS. And there's a June 28th, 2018 memo that really doesn't change anything. USCIS has always had the ability to issue NTAs. But all these memos kind of remind the agencies of their power to do so and blesses a process. So you may be seeing more NTAs issued as a result of denied benefit for status.